Well, hello. This is a spontaneous episode of You Can't Say That, and I thought I would just share this little story that happened this week, where we do get emailed quite frequently by amazing students across the UK, in fact, not just Scotland, who are in fashion and sustainability or cultural heritage, and they find us and they think, wow, it'd be great to speak to you. And as a small business, we always want to give them some information and, you know, help them with their studies. But, you know, one of my bugbears, I suppose, behind all of that is that actually our governments or education authorities never give anything to us who are actually become mini lecturers for a while. We're given a one-to-one tuition, but yeah, as small businesses have to find that time to give for free. So no issue with that, but sometimes when things are tough, that's quite hard to do everything for free. But anyway, this lovely student who's doing I don't know if it's a dissertation or a PhD or whatever, but she had two main questions that she wanted to ask me, because she is I believe a student who's looking at fast fashion, micro trends, whatever, and she's studying at university in England. So it's about textiles and practice, and she's specialising weave. So her two questions for me, and I was just in one of those moods, and I thought, right, I'll see it as it is. So, and then I read it back and I thought, I'm really proud of my answer. So this was the two questions she asked me for her studies. So first question is, how important is it to preserve the historical tradition of tartan weaving in your business, and how do you do this? So I replied, it is not important to preserve only one part of history, where we know of another part but do not fully acknowledge it with equal measure. For example, the before Culloden, the before the clan clothing, the true story of the cloth and the dress of the people of the Highlands, and actually what the Highlanders wore, not what people wear today. So it's not important to me to preserve the only known tradition, Highland dress and kilts in its form. I explained to her, our passion and purpose is the untold story, where it all started, which is fundamental prior to that romantic spin and appropriation. So we don't weave clan tartans for that reason. Plus, that decision also allows us to respect the space of other weavers who do. We never ever set up Prickly Thistle to take from others. We came to, well, now I realise, tell it how it is and cause a whole revolution in the Highlands. But we are, we recognise their roles. We don't weave clan tartans. It's important. They have got staff. They've been going for decades. They need to survive as well. So we don't make or preserve the military style kilts that everyone calls Highland dress today. It is not Highland dress. It is not, first of all, probably made in the Highlands, and it is not the Highland dress that was banned and that became very cool. A version very, very quickly of that was anglified as a military uniform became the kilt. So we are not preserving that. We don't make that. So we're actually fighting to bring home local production from the fleece to the finished fabric, because many saw, sadly, in the industry, higher margins by importing materials that were made with low wages. Plus, we don't preserve the modern tradition of high-speed looms that are computerized. We are championing the more traditional, truly traditional methods, although we're not at the you know, sticks level. We have got a loom that is partially industrialized, but again, we have not allowed technology to overtake what we do. When you see a modern loom, they don't need people to weave cloth. They have engineers that oversee the robotics and mechanics of a machine. Determining that as weaving, to me, is debatable. Don't want to preserve robotic engineers, to be honest. That is what's happening in every industry, and I am going to do my damnedest to protect weaving in a far more traditional way. So for us, it's important to create jobs for human beings when it comes to a truly traditional craft. How can we say we have traditional cloth and clothes when we use the most modern methods of production in every single stage? There's a real oxymoron there. Like, we're saying it's traditional, but we'll open the doors to your factory and everything's as modernised and optimised to make as much profit as possible, it does not put people and the skills of the people or the value of people front and centre. And it's all to make more profit at the end of the day, or to make more product than we'll ever need, which eventually gets wasted. And that part was definitely not tolerated in the past. That was the tradition of tartan and Highland clothing and Highland dress that was then, was about zero waste. It was about waste not want not. It was about handing it down generations, not just to make a beautifully overly tailored, coutured item that literally probably didn't fit the same person from one year to the next, never mind generations of people. So we don't preserve any of that either. So for us, it's more about what we don't do that preserves the true past, the true story of tartan. So that was her first question, asking what we do to preserve it. We say we don't do anything that anyone else does. We are not here to preserve that modern, appropriated, exploited, commercialised way. So her next question was, how do you modernise and streamline the process of tartan weaving to keep up with contemporary demands? Well, that's an interesting one. So you can imagine my response was, and by the way, this student absolutely loved this. She was like, this is amazing. I've had no one say anything like this. This is incredible. So I said, we don't modernise or streamline for contemporary demands. We actively try to encourage less consumption, buy less, love more, buy more ethically. And that's about buying from a place of provenance, hence our little Highland Tartan Act rebellion that we've got going on at the side at the moment that we launched last year in 2024. So for us, we do not want to modernise what we do or make it faster or cheaper. This is not honouring something that was a tradition. And when we say about tradition, traditions are normally centred around the involvement of human beings and the degree of involvement being huge. So tradition is very much about people. So the gaslighting of the story is something that we will not do, to say that here's Highland, here's tartan inspired. You know, we feel like that, you know, is wrong for sure. So we won't modernize, we won't streamline, we'll be pretty open and upfront about it. We're not being silly business people because it's costing us a lot of money to make something, because really what we're trying to show is that in the world of clothing, things have got far too cheap, that so many people just don't care about their clothes. They don't care where it's come from, they don't care where it goes, and it's hugely damaging. And when you go through that little process yourself and start to care about what you wear, not how the look is, it's transformative. And you actually, anything on a sale reel or cheap in a supermarket, you just walk away. No more of sucking in of this buy now, bargain, whatever, worn by this celebrity, latest look like this person. You just walk on by and you spend maybe the same money or less money than you normally would, but you're paying way more per item. So it's so liberating to be able to write things like this to students, because a few years ago I would never have written this. I had the imposter syndrome and I thought, gosh, no, we can't see that, we can't call it for that, we'll have, you know, all these people chasing and hunting us down. You know, this is bad business, you don't have a strategy, it's all about profit, where's your growth agenda, how can you say the kilt's not a kilt? You know, I had fear. Now I don't give a shit, because actually I say to them, why are you making that kilt? Why do you want to wear that version of the kilt? Why are you innovating, you know, quote unquote, your business? Be truthful and be honest about it, because if you're going to pull up your sustainability policy, then actually let's look at every optimization decision you've made or are making is a complete contrast to your commitment to people and planet. You're producing more, cheaper, and therefore the wastefulness is there. Everyone who bangs on about, but we need to make it affordable, ball licks. It's not about that. We're making it cheaper. We're, you know, are we a business at Prickly Thistle that are really just trying to make expensive product for wealthy people? Ball licks. No, 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 no. You have a budget per year. What do you want to spend on fabrics? And actually you realise you don't need all this shit. And actually you save money on buying less and loving more. So this was a really fun week for me to be able to put that out there and then see the students' response was like, love it. This is brilliant. You know, hopefully I can start to inspire all of these students coming through. They're working in this industry and they're being told this is our baseline, this is our statistics, this is the KPIs, this is what we need to do, this is the markups, this, that, the next thing. And never ask questions where anything comes from, as long as we can get that out that door with that markup to sell that vast volume of units, or from a traditional perspective, we're going to call this very romantic Highland clan story, blah, 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 but we'll make nothing anywhere near the Highlands. And we're going to make a version of clothing that's completely made up. So it was really nice that she loved the feedback I gave her for her studies. So there you go. So what are we doing to preserve tradition? Well, how do you define tradition? We ain't doing anything to preserve the current status quo. Not a thing. But we're doing everything we can for the true story, the untold story that actually is out there. We're not making this up. This already is out there. Nobody really knows about it. It's not the bit that gets pushed down your throat to make you buy more and make you buy something without even questioning where it came from or even questioning its indigenous roots. So we're not preserving any of that crap. And if we're going to modernize and streamline our business, no. We're going to make fantastic fabric with fantastic people in the Highlands so that when somebody wears a piece of our fabric, they feel amazing. They know where it came from. They know the values. They know what it's all about. It's authentic. And they have supported a little business who's got the kahunas. And we have the bollocks. Lots of things are bollocks. But we have the balls to call things for what they are. And we are genuinely trying to do this so that actually we can drive that social equity. We can drive that environmental justice. And we can drive that economic justice. You know, we just need to empower people with choice, informed choices, distribute that wealth a little bit more. And I can tell you, small businesses who really value their team, and it's really hard in the UK right now because they've done some shitty tax policy announcements in their latest budget about hammering employers for NIC, which is another, can't believe it, another groundhog year. But when you buy from smaller businesses, you are absolutely helping that fairer distribution of wealth, because you're going to be, that smaller business is sharing a far higher percentage of that sale with their team, the people who live in the region, rather than here's a slightly cheaper price and actually I'll put 10% to a faraway country and I'll maybe put 5% to processing it here in the UK and I'll keep the rest for myself because I don't have that many employees. And actually, if it's going to cost me a fortune to have an employee in the UK, I'll just get AI to jump on board and do all of that for me. So, yeah, feels liberating to be able to send that to students and be more vocal on it and put it onto the You Can't Say That podcast. So they're going to say, you can't say that the kilt's not the kilt. Well, I just did. You can't say that you don't want to preserve tradition. Well, I go, what tradition are you talking about? The made up one or the real one? So, and streamline your business. Get away from here. We need to drive social equity. We need to be transparent. Who are we giving our money to? And find the businesses that do give a shit and they're very upfront and honest about what they're doing. They're not trying to be expensive. They're not trying to make huge profit. They're literally trying to say, can we employ as many people in the area to do what we need to do and keeping the balance of the robotics? Because if we hit 100 years from now and everything has been robotic and made with robotics, where are we all going to work? How are we all going to earn an income? Because I know in this country, we can't all be in the social system. We will just be the slaves to the billionaires. Anyway, you can't say that. I just did. The kilt's not the kilt. And actually, I'm not preserving the bollocks tradition, quote unquote, of what you see today. Because actually, there's an even more amazing tradition and history that inspired the whole thing. And it's about taking it back to its roots and taking it back to the true, authentic way and the people involved. So you can take your streamlining and shove it, and absolutely, we're going to call it for what it is. Hello 2025. We are coming to tell the untold story. Until next time, goodbye.